All right, let's go to our reading today. You're going to read the blue. I'm going to read the black. Now, pretty much every week I've screwed up in the first service on mine. So maybe I'll be perfect today. I doubt it. Okay. Finally, brethren, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. But the Lord is faithful, and guard you from the evil one. Both that you do and will do the things we command you. And into the patience of Christ. Boy, you guys sounded pretty good. That's some great, great verses, isn't it? I think I could safely say it's kind of changed my life just meditating on these verses because, man, we need the protection so bad, but we kind of get bristled when we think that we got to follow God's common sense instructions. And so we've got to look at that. So our scripture to meditate on this morning is, again, the same as last week, but we're going to go on into Ephesians. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish, who will set you and guard you from the evil one. And we read the next verse also last week, which says, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. We're going to be camping in there over the next few Sundays, probably up to Easter, because Paul gives specific, clear instructions as to what we are to do to stay protected. All right. And he's going to tell us how to fight this battle. And we all fight the battle. And we need to be guarded against the evil one. Amen? And every time I see the guarded, I still see, like I said, if you were here last week, the two guards in front of the Trump Towers. And they were not going to let anybody through that door unless they had true access. And I look at that, and that's our God. He's not going to let anybody through our door if we follow his instructions. So we get to the first verse, or the 10th verse of Ephesians 6. And if you have your Bibles, please bring your Bibles so you can look that. I know we have them up here, and that's for the guests, okay? But somewhere you got to get used to reading your own Bible, amen? Okay, so, all right. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, is that a good verse or what? Man, I love that verse. And here's the global answer in one verse on how to fight the tempter and the evil one. The rest is going to tell us how we, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So let's fully understand and clarify what Paul's saying here. Finally, my brethren, or the remaining words that Paul wants to talk is in the original is kind of how it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong, be empowered, be capable in the Lord and in the power or strength of his might, not your might, his full strength is what it's talking about. And he has a battle plan for using his strength and might to protection provided by him for us. Now, last week, I think it was Friday night, a week ago Friday night, we took a couple of our really young grandsons, Broden and Buddy, to the Monster Jam. Now, how many of you know what the Monster Jam is? Okay, so we took them to the Monster Jam. We got cheap tickets, okay? And so we took them, and I'm telling you, the kids loved it. We put the foam in their ears and that kind of thing. If you've been there, it's stinking loud, isn't it? And pretty soon they'd keep falling out, and I'd keep pushing them in and that kind of thing. But we were watching these trucks as they did their wheelies, and they jumped, and they were standing up on their back wheels or the front wheels, that kind of thing, doing their tricks and that kind of thing. And at one point in the show, one of them, after doing a jump and landing on an old car and squishing it, you know, did the boys love that? I mean, they were pretty enthralled, but when they crushed the car, oh my gosh, They went insane. And this truck made it around the arena and accidentally took a quick U-turn and turned over on its side, okay? So they bring out the equipment, so a small crane, and they hook it to the frame, and they pull it up and set it back up again. It happens several times. And so while they're doing that, the driver of this huge monster truck that had turned over crawls out of the cab window, jumps to the ground, and runs out of the arena, probably mostly for safety. But he also was going to go get his toolbox, right? And so he comes back with a few people, and they work on it. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute as a kind of an illustration, okay? The driver only had the power to crush that car and create fear and engine noise that shook the stands when the monster truck had power, right? But on its side, there was no noise. It got kind of quiet in the arena. And he himself absolutely had no power to do what that truck did, but he had the power to run on his legs, get his toolbox, come back, and make the necessary adjustments so they could do that. So little Broden's sitting on my lap, and he looks up at me straight up, right? And says to me, hey, who is that guy running from the truck, from the monster truck? And I said, well, he's the driver. I don't know that that clicked with him, because I think for him, the monster truck was the driver, right? And so he didn't get why somebody went out the window and went back and came back with a couple other guys with the toolbox and worked on it for a few seconds after it was set up right. And it made me think that the driver, and think about this now, the driver could have gone out to, there's a mound in the middle if you've ever been, and he could have got onto that mound and jumped on the car and maybe yell like a lion, although you wouldn't hear him because your arena is so loud. And he could have kicked the fender and maybe hurt his foot. But that's all the power he had, right? He had decision-making power in the truck, but he couldn't do it on his own. And so he got back into the truck, started that up, and man, the thing was loud and took off and jumped and did wheelies for a little bit. And I thought, you know, that is a perfect example of what we're talking about here. The power, the monster truck is God's power that he gives us. But we have to know how to operate the truck, right? And if the truck isn't on, there is no power, and we're vulnerable. And, you know, the thing is that driver would just, he knew what the instructions were, he knew what the rules of the road were, he took his toolbox, he fixed it, and started that baby back up, and the power of God, in likeness to that, is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, this promised us. And that's one of the significance. In fact, I want to read this verse out of Ephesians 1:19, because we are to be empowered in the strength of his full strength. That's what it really says. Be empowered in the strength of his full strength. And so in Ephesians 1:19, he says this to us. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. So that same power that the Father used to raise Jesus Christ, bring him back to breathing, bringing him back to life, and then bringing him to heaven and sit down next to him in the heavenlies, is the same power you and I have if we tap into it. But we have to know how to tap into it, amen? That's what we got to do. So while I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, I think we are getting through life on our own strength so much of the time, right? I mean, I'm, you know, I don't know how you feel, but I'm pretty equipped to do a lot of things. I've been around the block here, and I'm almost at the end of the block, you know. So, so I've learned a lot of things. I've learned how to talk to people. I've learned how to counsel. I've learned how to pastor stuff. I have no power except Jesus Christ. I do not have the power to affect your life. Do you know that? Yep. It's Jesus Christ that gives us the power to affect our lives. Now, as I thought about it, I thought, who did it right? Okay, so I thought about Hezekiah. Now, King Hezekiah was born to a horrible, horrible king. And then the next guy behind him, his son, horrible, horrible king. Okay, but Hezekiah was a righteous king of Judah, and he got it right. And over in Israel's history, they would trust their own strength. They'd get out and count how many soldiers they had, how many the enemy had. If they had more, then they would capitulate and give them gold and silver. If they had more, they'd go fight, okay, and lose most of the time because their heart wasn't right before God. So King Hezekiah got it right. He laid out the request. These guys, Sennacherib came along and told him, oh, you don't follow Hezekiah, because his God is weak. All the other gods have died. To do, you know, you come under our power. And so Hezekiah even gave him some silver and stuff to go away. They didn't go away. He just lost his silver. And it occurred to him, and he went before God in the temple, laid out what Sennacherib had said, and said, Lord, he said this about you. And so God went to work. So while Israel slept, okay, get this now. While Israel's asleep thinking, oh, what are we going to do? Okay. God goes into the Assyrian camp and kills 85,000 men. And Israel didn't lift a hand. He got it right. Okay. And we think, oh God, I could do it by myself. I can do this for you. All the good reasons, all the right attitudes. I can do this for you. And the point is, God say, oh, I'm sorry, Steve, you can't. Right? Doesn't he say that to you? Oh, God. No, no way. No way. He can do it himself, but he doesn't want to do it himself. He wants to do it through us. And if you remember, it's a process of we grow in wisdom and strength and patience and character. Romans 5 tells us that. That all these tribulations that we go through, he works out for our good. So he's working in us to be him. It's our choice, but his power. Our choice. But his power. Do you hear the Holy Spirit today? So the driver of the monster truck, after some quick repairs by him and his team, ran back into the arena, started that engine up, lurched forward, spun circles, jumped, stood on his front tires and balanced for a while, and then went back and parked. And boy, those kids loved that. And the driver had nothing of himself to do any of that other than to follow instructions. And God's calling us to tap into his strength, not our own. And that's hard on us, isn't it? Let's be honest. Isn't it hard to give up your power to God? Because we think we have just enough to maybe make it. I can remember going into the ministry thinking, you know, I've seen all these pastors and they all goof up, so when I get in there, I'm going to do it right. Well, I just met a pastor recently that was talking about how he's seen all these pastors mess up and he's going to do it right. And I said, well, good luck on that one. Good luck. Oh, boy. All right. So here's the question I want to ask you. Do you want to know how to utilize his power? Okay, we're going to go over that over the next few weeks, but I want to read a couple passages and have us think about this, okay? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then it says, putting on the whole armor of God, but in the original it means you have already put on the armor, the whole armor of God, the weaponry of God. And then he says that you may be able to stand, and that's the way they always translate it in the things, but it really means this, so that you are able, not that you might be able, so that you are able to stand. Not run. Not wield your sword. Stand against the wiles, against the scheming deceits and tricks of the devil. And as I said before, the devil means the slanderer. And I think sometimes we feel too self-important, that the devil would dog us or tempt us or the evil in the world. The bottom line is all he wants to do is make fun of you and me. That's his goal. Oh, Father, look at Steve. He is such a jerk. He does all these stupid things, and yet he calls himself a pastor. Can you see Satan doing that, though? And put yourself in that place, and what would he say about you? This is the battle of our lives. And it is all about standing against evil. And it's God's gift of armor that we use to stand against evil. And it's not attacking, it's not pursuing the evil one, is standing firm against his battle tactics in the full armor of God. Now, you may be like me. Maybe you have that a little bit of that warrior desire. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, why not attack? I want to honor God. I want to go out there and kill something. You know, I'm going to get that devil and that kind of thing. And so I'll make the decision. I won't be tricked. Well, good luck with that. Good luck. Because here's the question, what and who are you fighting? You don't even know, right? I have people come probably on a weekly basis to see, well, how do we fight the devil? I pray, the first real revealing question might be this, what and who are we fighting? Because you can't see the enemy. You probably can't understand him, what he'll do, but he can see you. I love the idea of fighting for God, fighting for his honor. But how do we fight? You know, we don't understand the depth of the devil's strategy, his anger. He's already lost, right? His pure evil and revenge because he's challenged God and accusing us in front of God. And God simply wants us as warriors to stand. Stand protected in his power against all of his plans of evil. We can fight him and his schemes, but it has to be on God's terms. Because he's the only one that knows, because he created the monster, right? He created the monster that went south on him. So the very next verse says this, okay? And it, to me, it's almost like an explosion of thought. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Right? We could do it if it was flesh and blood. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And man, just stop and think how blind you really are. Because he lives in the heavenlies. He does the accusing. He does the planning. He gets after us. And God's just saying, stand. Don't move forward. Don't do anything. Stand in my armor. And we're going to talk, like I say, over the next couple of weeks about the armor. Now, I want you to, I don't know if many of you saw the latest Star Wars, okay? If you saw the latest Star Wars movies, okay, there was one particular Jedi warrior who was blind, okay? Now, don't you love it in the movies? Hollywood is so great. He's blind, but he can knock off any shots at him, and he knocks people out, and he's fighting them all by himself, and pretty soon all of the white soldiers are dead, and he's standing there. And it's like, man, I love Hollywood. Because they could do that in Hollywood, but it doesn't work in real life, does it? You know. Well, it was funny because in the deal, he's fighting and he gets all done fighting, and somebody sneaks up behind him and knocks him out because he doesn't know he's there. So all this intuition, all this everything, and he gets knocked out. And I kind of feel like that's us. In a way, we think we can fight it all, and we're blind and we're fighting it, and then somebody comes and knocks us to the ground. And what do we feel like then? Oh, Lord, I am so unworthy. Right? Yep. And what is God saying to you and me? Get back on your feet and stand. That's what he's telling you. He's not saying, oh, I don't know if I want you in my kingdom anymore because you did this or that. No, he's saying, get back on your feet. Get on your feet and stand. And so Paul says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, this is rulers, against powers, spiritual authorities, against the rulers, and it's the rulers over this world of the darkness of the age, of this age, against spiritual hosts, spiritual ones, of wickedness, of evil, in the heavenly places. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm sad that they still reside in the same realm that the Father does. But they won't for long. Because in the end, when God, Christ comes back, he throws him into the, and I don't know if he throws him into the pit, but he ties him up and Satan can't do anything for 1,000 years. But that's who we're fighting against. Way beyond our pay grade, right? Therefore, 13, because of this, take up. And it really says, having taken up the whole armor of God, and then we get to a purpose clause, for the purpose that you may be able, or you have the power to withstand, or stand against, or resist in the evil day, and having done all, and performed thoroughly, to stand. To stand. This is the same thing as Paul's saying in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you, and establish means to stand or set, and guard you from the evil one. And we can add from Ephesians, who will also strengthen us in his full strength, and he has given us the armor to stand. And so next week, I want to talk about that armor so that we can look at how we have to stand and what that armor is. And so here's my final challenge to you this morning. Read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Read Ephesians 10 or 6, 10 through 18. Did you get that? I didn't see many people writing it down. Okay. So let me just say it again because you probably didn't hear me. Did the mic go out back there? Okay. Read Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10 through 18, and get familiar with it so as we go through it, you already have a familiarity. Will you do that? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much today. What a great God you are. You know, Lord, we look at it, and just like in Hezekiah's place, you could send your soldiers out, wiped everything out, and what would we as your children learn from that? You want to teach us what it means to be godly, what it means to be patient, what it means to be able to stand, Lord, because there's evil throughout your universe. And we need to grow and be more and more like our brother Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we move through this, through the different parts of the armor, that we will come to the place where we as a fellowship here at Harvest Fellowship will learn to stand against the evil one, stand against the talk, stand against the actions, that we might help each other and be accountable to each other, whatever it takes, that we might stand and having done all thoroughly to stand. May you be glorified in that, and may we be those type of sons and daughters for you. Our heads are bowed. You may have come this morning. You may not have a relationship with God. If you don't, you're wide open. You're wide open to get hit by Satan and evil. Let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death, eternal death. But it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning and maybe this morning is that time where you feel like, you know what, I want to be all in. I want to ask Christ into my life. I need some change in my life. And if I'm talking to you this morning, I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you can pray this prayer along with me. The prayer goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord, the master of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. And while you still have your head bowed, if maybe you prayed that prayer this morning and you meant it, I'm going to ask you to do something. Love for you to raise your hand up and put it back down. Let God know you meant business today. We want to pray for you and help you get started. So if you made that decision this morning, just raise your hand up. Raise it up and put it back down. Anybody else this morning? Anybody? Father, we just thank you. I thank you that most everybody here knows you. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with us this week as we read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, meditate on the armor. And then, Lord, I just pray that we will recognize what we have on, that we already have the protection. We just don't remember it. And Lord, will you bring that to the forefront of our memory and help us as we read through those verses? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.